Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to AfterBuzz TV's final revenge after show ever. This is it, guys. We have Tina Kapp.
Hi.
We got Anna Koppel for mayor.
Hey.
That's it. There you go.
And I'm your host. What do you want from me?
I am your host, Phil Svitek, and we have Roxy Stryer maybe over the phone. I know she's trying to call in. However, if she doesn't, good riddance by design. No, I'm just kidding. If you can't be here for the finale, I don't know if you deserve to be part of the finale, but we do have Nick Wexler, a.k.a. Jack Porter, the man of the hour.
The happily married man, sailing off into the sunset.
Yeah, what's just right off the bat, what's life post-revenge?
It's, God, fired from a job that no one's getting paid for. I don't know. What is it like? It's sleeping in. Mm-hmm. It's going door to door, just going, hey, any work?
Is it in L.A. or is it in the Hamptons?
This is in L.A. I'm just knocking on doors and saying, and like trying to get a job again.
You guys want some cookies?
Yes.
How long ago did they tell you that it would be over, and how did they tell you?
They told me, Sunil, our showrunner, emailed all of us, I guess, and let us know.
Wait, so you just got moments. This like bulk email status, just like,
hey, yeah, the show's over.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
yeah. So he just, we got this. But look, we'd always we suspected. We knew, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, you can't read that script and be like, we're coming back, right? So, right.
So let's start, before we fully dive into everything. It's called Two Graves. Obviously, we know kind of now what the Two Graves were for. Overall impressions of the finale. And we all have very mixed opinions.
I was not pleased. it was just the opposite of everything that I hoped for. I really...
Why? Because you wanted it really dark and you got sort of semi-dark but more happy?
I don't think that Emily Thorne, that Amanda Clark deserved a happy ending. It wasn't right. It just wasn't right.
It sends girls a bad message?
It sends, type of thing. Sends, yes.
Wait, girls you said?
Girls.
I think it sends everyone you can a bad send, message.
Yeah, it sends think, everyone
well,
a bad
just
message.
To say, like you can do this. You can go down a revenge path and everything will work out, you know?
Yeah. As long as the end decision, which I don't know quite what the end decision was because it happened to be happenstance that she didn't kill Victoria.
And because you left the room because you were putting out fires or something. I'm kidding. You were doing whatever you had to do and it was very important.
Allegedly.
But continue.
And also just... The fact that they called it Two Graves and they, brought it back to the line from Confucius, if you go down a path of revenge, and the fact that the other grave was for David, who died of cancer and had nothing to do with revenge, it all just didn't work. It just didn't work for me.
Okay. Tina Kapp?
I agree. I felt like the tone of the show, these entire seasons, was always revenge. It was always nothing, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't supposed to end happy like that. Like, it just didn't fit the tone of the show to me. I felt like it was a little cheesy, and they just could have... I mean, I know it sounds bad, but I wish they would have just, like, killed more people. Like,
also,
yes, especially, just, like, right?
Yeah. Also, like, can Jack, like, come up with a different honeymoon for his new wife? Yeah. Like,
other than the one that killed his other wife?
Right, yeah. You would think...
Nope.
It's just...
No. That's all I got.
I wonder where Carl is during this honeymoon.
I left him in the locker at the police station.
I think, here's my thoughts on it. On paper, it's not a bad finale, but I'm going to say, you know, last week, Tina and Anna, you guys said that it needed to be 2 hours. You guys were surprised that it was just an hour.
It could have been 30 minutes tonight.
No, I think there was a better way to slightly tell it, but on paper, I don't think, trust me, I've seen, having done 400 TV shows here at AfterBuzz, I've seen some bad finales. And was this great? No, but it wasn't awful or bad. You know, and I can walk away with the series and be like, okay, you know what, that was worth four seasons, you know, it had its ups and downs, trust me, the initiative, we've been through the initiative, and so on and so forth. But we have Roxy Stryer from Boston with her opinion on the finale.
Hi, guys!
Hey!
Oh, I'm so sad that I can't be there and that I had to watch this episode by myself and I could just picture your guys' faces and the laughs, the smiles, and the cringes at times. So, okay, I'm going back for 1 second. I have to say, yeah, about the honeymoon, what are they going to do with this new dog on in the boat? How's this dog going to live on the boat for this time? I'm not understanding. The dog's going to die.
I don't think the dog was on the boat.
Yeah.
I left
Carl in charge of the dog back on land.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Yeah, definitely. You gotta leave Carl in charge. Carl's getting the short end of the stick for sure.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but I didn't dislike the finale to the extent that you guys did. Did it leave a little bit something to be desired? Yes, but I'm kind of just a lover of love, and when I did see Jack and Emily together, I have to say it made me kind of happy. I know that, Anna, you're probably like, what the hell are you talking about? But I did. I smiled. They're on the boat, and they were so cute together, and it's what they both always wanted from the days of Sammy. I don't know. It was kind of sweet.
This is not, I mean, it's, you know, look, it's interesting to hear, there's so many different, two different points of view.
Rox, I'm going to task you with an assignment. While we kind of discuss the episode, I'll let you chime in, obviously, but figure out what's going on with the reactions on Twitter and everything else.
Wait, I want to ask Roxy one question. What did you think? You said you thought it was so sweet, you know, as they were sailing off together. What did you think of the love-making scene in Victoria's dead mom's house?
Yeah, it happened really quick. It was a little uncomfortable. But
his shirt came off fast, right?
You gotta do wherever you are.
Listen, you know, I can barely get it up, and so when I do, it's time to do it. We are not.
Doesn't
Jack's
matter
thing.
The
that's,
location.
I just decided that about my character that he.
It's a creative choice. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very sporadic boners.
Hey, Nick, what did we tell you about what you do and don't share on air? You gotta keep that to yourself.
Well, that was Jack. That's not me. I can't even get it up.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's, so, clearly, this episode was... You know, it was about the Confucius quote, but more so it was about we all have a choice to make, and it is that that defines us. I don't know why.
Yes, it reminded us about 20 times throughout the episode.
Yeah, sure did.
And I guess, you know, obviously everyone's kind of made decisions up until this point, and you can argue that they've been bad decisions, but, you know, what they were hinting at was there's a line that you don't cross, and if you cross that line, there's no coming back from it. And ultimately, there's characters that stayed behind the line, which you can, Margot sort of did. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious, what do you, like, in terms of Margot's character, she's helped out Victoria. Before that, she, you know, I really thought her versus Emily would be kind of endgame, but then it wasn't. Where does Margot ultimately end up? Is she a good character? Is she a bad character? Does she just go to jail? Where is she now, given the choices?
I mean, she made a lot of poor choices, if you're going to stick on that, you know, trend or whatever. But I think she can be labeled a bad character. I mean, she was Victoria's, you know, ally through this whole, basically, at least, yeah, I mean, I guess through the whole season, really. And Victoria is, by far the worst character, at least, that we had left this season since, you know, Conrad's dead.
Conrad's the best. Don't even start on Conrad.
Anna loves him, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I think that Margot kind of went down that path and could never really come back from it. And I used to really like her character when you guys were together. I liked that. I liked that pairing. I liked her. And
it was what I love about it is, like, it's like, I hate Jack. I liked her.
No.
I liked her.
No. Okay. Let me get it straight. I didn't hate Jack. I just felt like, and honestly, actually, Margot made a point in the show. She's like, I think it was Margot that said, "You're always helping," or who said it to him? Maybe it was either this episode or last episode. Like, you're always helping Emily. Like, you're always going to help her, and like, it never ends up right or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody says that. It was at the cafe.
Yes. Yeah, so it's like, but that was like one of the reasons why I had an issue with him, was because it's true. Like, it was kind of like he had no backbone with when it came to her, you know. And it was like, sometimes I thought, all right, you need to stand up for yourself. And like,
he's like very sad and mopey.
Yeah.
That part might be my not entirely. but I was gonna say, so I think I was asked in some interview once, like, I don't know, something about that, and I said, look, they just hired a very sad actor to play him. And I'm not very gifted, so I can't.
I can't hide my own
darkness. But no, I'm with you on that point. That I've always felt like he's too much of a pushover for her, and too you know, like, I don't know. Maybe it just needed a bit more. We needed to see more of why they worked. We needed to see more connection or passion or something so that if we witnessed some undeniable connection, that even when they were in relationships with other people, they were like stealing looks at each other, when, you know, like, then you have, then you have something that you can root for. I don't know.
I 100% agree with that. I think all that we had was their childhood. That's what they kept going back to. And it's like, okay, we get that, but you're right. I think if they would have portrayed it that way, like, you know, stolen glances and that, just like, you know, giving that person a different look than you do other people, it would have been a little bit more kind of believable, I guess. It kind of just like happened. Like, we just knew.
Roxy, what worked for you? Because it obviously worked.
Well, I understand what they're saying. Like, if you take this into the real world for a second, I think about Nick Mead Fox. He was the boy that I had a crush on when I was in first grade. And if all the things that happened the way that they, with Jack and Emily, then maybe today I would still be crushing on Nick Mead Fox. But I'm not crushing on Nick Mead Fox because he ended up being a total jerk. And I feel like, yes, a lot of your guys' connection is about your childhood and where you guys have been and where you come from. But I did see those glances in between. It's not like over the last 4 years we've seen nothing between them. The moment where she finally does tell him, when they are on that balcony, or when they are on the boat, or there's all this different times where I do feel like they have a connection. But the problem is, we also saw her have a very serious connection with somebody else.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were rooting for that somebody else. And that connection was undeniable. So it's not like every person she's been with we've hated, and the only person we could ever see her with was Jack. And that's why I think a lot of the fans feel like it's a little bit of a consolation prize. Like, if Aiden hadn't passed away, she wouldn't have ended up with Jack.
Yeah.
Or if Daniel hadn't passed away, then maybe some way she would have been with Daniel.
I frankly feel that way too. Like, I've always felt like he, you know, because she even calls Aiden the love of her life at one point, and there was a part of me that was like, listen, unless we're gonna take Jack in some like dark direction, you know, if he's still sort of end game, the problem we now have in our hands is, he's going to be he's just going to look like he was just the last guy standing. Like, everybody else just died. And so I'm like, I win the fight, you know, like, it's not, I get that. I've always felt that like her connection, I started rooting for her and Aiden. And I don't know that, that I was supposed to.
I think that... Go ahead, Roxy.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, and then in the end, even when, I know we're not there yet, but when we do get to the wedding and we're talking about everything that has passed, and he's like, our friend's Aiden, and I'm like, ooh, it's so weird just to even mention him at the wedding because I so easily could picture her of getting married to him. It's like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Well, of Jack's loves, who do you think he had, like, who do you feel he had the most chemistry with, and who do you feel he should have been with, if not Amanda? Or do you think he should have ended up with Amanda?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know that, God, you guys, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll give you the rundown. There's Margot.
Yes, no. I know who there is. Okay, I'm getting hung up on the question of whether or not I should. I think Jack should have ended up with her, and I don't. I never really was, you know, because I feel like it sends a funky message about. I think it isn't like, I don't know, the morality of the show is compromised. Mm-hmm. The morality of this tale is compromised if she gets what she always wanted at the end, you know? There was a moment where last season, there's some guy that played, like, Emily's, like, ex-husband. Do you remember that? Like,
yeah.
Victoria, like, does, like, a this is your life, like, thing and brings this guy, like, at their engagement party. And there's this guy, and she's, like, trying to bust her in front of Daniel by saying, like, she had a whole life that she didn't tell you about. But she didn't tell you about this guy. And and then the guy ends up going, actually, she was doing me a solid. She was marrying me to keep me in the country, blah, blah, blah. And so it ends up backfiring on Victoria. But later, Nolan and Emily are hanging out with that guy, and they ask him, and Nolan asks him, like, so you went to revenge school with Emily? He's like, yeah. And she's like, he says, how did your revenge go? And his response is almost like, I can't talk about it, but, you know, and I'm like, wait. We need to be letting her know that that's not a good, like, we need to be showing the audience that this is all going to some, like, this is not going to work out. This is not a smart choice, you know? Anyway.
We have a question from the chat. David Stryker says, alternate version of the script. Was there something more?
Can you talk in your mic?
It don't work.
All right, so what's the question?
Was there an alternate version of the script, something more dire and less happy?
Was there an alternate version of the script?
Not that I know of. If there was, they never showed it to us, and we weren't informed of.
Do you think as a network, like, I mean, part of it is you have to live up to certain expectations. I mean, especially on ABC and things like that. Like, I don't, you know, I can imagine a more grim ending, but there's that idea of, like, as a network, like, no way. We can't have that. You know what I mean? It's not Breaking Bad. It's not Game of Thrones style of a show. And so it is what it is, just by default.
You had an idea for an alternate ending, right? You'd be willing to talk about it.
Okay, I mean, good. I'll say this. Look, before I go into any of that, you're right. And you know, there's nothing really you can do about that. And look, they were my employers. They were amazing to me. I never, like, I didn't have any complaints about, like, it. Like, they were great. They were great to me. So I don't have any complaints about that. But yeah, I think it's just, and with network TV, sometimes a show will end on a brighter note than it would if it were on Netflix or something, you know, or cable or whatever. So, yeah, you know, there are things that just for my personal taste, I'm like, oh man, I wish we could have done this. Yeah. We still did some cool things, and like just through the course of the show, like it accomplished so much, and it was you know, generally very well received, and like, you know, I'm proud of so much of what we did, and just as we wrapped up, I was like, oh man, it breaks my heart because I feel like there's certain things that didn't, like, we didn't honor something, like, well, some spirit of the show.
You guys, I mean, when Michael Kelly left, obviously, just by the nature of that, there's a huge shift. But one of the things, I mean, I can look back on it and say, you guys had four seasons and you guys wrapped it up. I mean, imagine if it ended after season two or after season three. You know, all these things. So for better or worse, we got a conclusion. So, that's something.
Yes, and frankly, I want to thank ABC for that, too, like, letting us... you know, but they probably had known for a while, and that we were going to be, that we were going to be done, and to let us, you know, to give us that time rather than being like, nope,
yeah.
You know, was really cool. We didn't have to end abruptly, and you know, because we still got to honor some things. It's just a brighter note to end on than I would have wanted. Yeah. For my taste.
Which is what?
Oh God.
It's so good.
Sorry, you guys. I'm sorry.
Why?
Well, you hate me, so but it's okay.
No, I don't hate you. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put it that way. It's just Jack's character. We talked about this.
You're making it worse.
I know. I need to just stop.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay, just go on with your
the theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and this stupid jacket just...
Right. You can take it off, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah. You do it really quickly, I hear.
Yeah.
I've seen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'll try to do this fairly quickly, but basically I would have had Victoria turn out to be a good... It would require having not done a bunch of the things we did over the course of the show, but I would have had Victoria, like, turn out to be a good guy all along. David to have not only been alive, but the granddaddy villain of the whole thing. I would have had it turn out that he falsified the journals in order to use his own daughter as an instrument of his greed. If it turned out that he masterminded this plan, let's say he and Conrad knew each other way back or something, and he was Victoria's kind of first love, but she was encouraged to marry for money or something, and there was some medical reason or something she needed to marry for money, but she always kind of, like, had her eye on David and was always brokenhearted about that, but then Conrad kind of corrupted him and brought him, like, to the dark side, introduced him to the dark side, but once there, he became Darth Vader. He became, like... that he went further than Conrad, and he masterminded this thing. Like, he was responsible for the downing one of that flight 197.
Yeah,
197. Yeah,
and was basically a monster. He's killed people. He's done these awful things, and he came up with the plan to fleece the clients. And make, you know, he's like, guys, we can make billions if we do this. And there are a bunch of people at the company who are like, okay. And he's like, the problem is we're going to have to do this, and this. And they're like, and some of them are like, we want that money, but that's crazy. And he's like, here's the deal. I came up with it, and I will do those things. So I get 50%, and you can split the other 50. But then then he goes to jail, and that's not part of his plan. And no one's like comes out of the woodwork and gets him out of there. And he's like, oh, okay, I could take 50, or I could have my daughter take you out one by one and get your take as each of you are taken down. Mm-hmm. I there's this great Mr. Burns line in The Simpsons where he says, yes, but I'd trade it all for just a little more. and I think it's this great, like, you know, boiling down of capitalism and greed. And so if it was that for him, it's like, yeah, I could have 50. Or, because I did all the dirty work and none of you were here rotting in prison, I could have everything if I just do this. So he falsifies the journals. He puts this guy up to helping his daughter. He's like, give her these journals that I, where, you know, like, I claim these, they wronged me in this way, in this way, in this way, and it's garbage. It's really just
because I know that a heartbroken young girl will go after these people, even though I'm saying, but don't do it, you know, knowing full well she's going to. And he's telling Nolan, go do it. Go, you know, help her, fund her entire life, make sure she does it, but discourage her just enough that she never suspects you. And if she has to pursue her, like, okay, so then I would have had it revealed that David was alive when Emily's about to, let's say, kill Victoria, and there's something Victoria's done, something horrible enough just right before that. So let's say Conrad's already taken out, even though I wish we'd never lost him because he's amazing. But he's taken out, and then she's about to take Victoria out, and let's say she's done something bad enough that she's actually about to kill her, and Victoria's like, and she's essentially saying, I want you to look me in the eye. Do I look familiar? And she's like, what are you? And she's like, I'm Amanda Clark. You, huh? and is like, I'm taking you down. Like, I want you to know who it is who's taking you down for this and for this and for this. And if she's like, that wasn't me. That was your dad. And if she's like, I know that's not true because he was dead by then. She's like, no, oh, you poor thing. You don't know. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? And she's like, I can prove it. I don't know if I could even find him anymore, but I can prove that he was alive. You know, I have this one little shred of evidence that makes her hold off on killing her. And then she's like, and then they have to kind of join forces to go find him. And over the course of her searching for her dad and being kind of hot on his trail, I wouldn't even have revealed him for the entire season, or half the season. And then but over the course of, you know, as she gets closer and closer to finding him, she's gathering information and she's finding that he was a monster. That he was a monster. So she's sadly realizing, by the time I confront him, like, I'm gonna have to take him down. Like, I'm gonna have to put him away, my own dad away. This whole season, I would have made, like, Kill Bill, you know, she's gotta go after him. But then I'll finally shut up. If he ended up, say, Jack, because he was a cop. let's say he finds something that he thinks is like an odd piece of information, and he's like, and he know it's a crime, but he can't sort of figure out why, like what happened and who's responsible. Where he knows what happened, but he doesn't know who's responsible. And what he doesn't know is it leads to David, and he keeps looking into this thing, and he's about to round some corner right into David, and David's like, I can't have this. And he kills him. Before I say that, if she finds her dad, she's about to, you know, she's got a gun trained on him or something, but just to get him to stop, she's not going to shoot. But he is like, what are you going to do? Kill me? Like, I'm your dad. You think I didn't love you? You think I, like I funded your entire life? You think I, I had an eye on you? What do you think Nolan was? And if she's like, oh my God, Nolan was in on this, and then he escapes, and David escapes or something, or is like, you're not going to shoot me, you're not going to shoot me, and then, like, he knows she can't shoot, so he gets away, and then she goes after Nolan, and is like, what the hell? And Nolan has this great, like, primal fear moment, you know, that movie Primal Fear with, Edward Norton's, you know, where his characterization of, like, the southern, like, kind of simple guy with the stutter, it melts away, and we see that he's always been this other character. I would have had that, something like that happen with Nolan, and he could still play both, because Nolan is his public face, but, and then in the end, he's the one. If Victoria tries to get her to her dad, she's like, she just couldn't quite get her there. But by then she's proven herself, so Emily's like, I'm not going to kill you. But then Nolan, in the end, is the one who's like, I'm going to lead you to him. Because, frankly, I always thought that what he did was, like, you know, yes, I'm loyal to your dad, but what he hadn't counted on is that we're human. I'm not, you know, I'm not a robot that can just do his bidding and not feel for this person I've lived with for this long. I think you deserve better than what he's done. So I will lead you to him, but I wash my hands of the whole thing. And so he finds her, leads her to him, and then she confronts him, and through this all, Jack is looking for him, and he kills Jack, and then she realizes not only do I have to take my own dad down, I have to put him down like a rabid dog. And the one person that she ever killed on the show was her own dad, because she's never killed anyone, until tonight. Well, no, she didn't. But she's never killed anyone. If the one person she killed on the show was her own dad, and we got the audience on board, that would have satisfied me.
Me too.
You haven't given this much thought.
Oh, yeah. My God. People in the chat are going crazy right now about this. First of all, they think that you need to write your own show. Second of all, they think that this is better than what actually happened.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe how much you've thought about this. It's absolutely brilliant. But I do have to say, on social media, I'm looking and everybody's loving the finale.
Okay,
so
that's good.
Your version might have been great. It really might have, but people are loving the finale.
Listen, I'm glad to hear that. I'm honestly glad to hear that. You know, because I don't think that our writers are bad. I think that, you know, they've come up with some amazing stuff, and Sunil's like got some great ideas, and it's not like this is like a failure. It's just that I've just been writing another version of the show in my head all along, and I'm like, oh man, like every time I get a new script, I'd be like, this is cool, but how would that fit in with what I've been coming up with? Okay. I'd tweak it in this way and this way, and then it could kind of fit. And then at a certain point, it became clear that I was like, no, we just can't do what I was was hoping. So whatever.
It's pretty cool though.
No, absolutely.
It's brilliant.
Very nice.
The career and, in writing in front of you.
And David's graspy Batman voice, as we spoke about, would be perfect for the master villain, you know?
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting, yeah.
He always talks like he's whispering.
So,
maybe I wonder if they came up with the idea of giving him cancer from the way he spoke. He talks he's dying.
Yeah, he
does. No, I
cringes love that guy. When we say anything about these types of things.
No, I was laughing at that one.
Fair enough.
Look, I love that guy.
I want to hit some stuff from this episode just to make sure we hit.
Yeah, we should probably talk about.
I'm so sorry, by the way. I took 32 minutes and 25 seconds to tell that story. Sorry.
Hey, people loved it. I want to make sure we talk about Louise, because she has a huge, you know, she played a big part in the episode.
Roxy, she's back on our team.
I know. I've been waiting for this moment all season. I'm so happy.
You do.
It was a very uncalculated risk by Margot and Victoria, and I knew it wouldn't play out to their advantage.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it didn't.
Right.
I am sad that Luis and Nolan don't end up fully together. You know, what happens to Luis?
Yeah. I kind of didn't expect that to happen.
Them two together? Or her?
Yeah, I didn't expect them to get back together. I expected her to turn. Like, that made sense. Because she's the only, like, very emotional and still somewhat kind of pure, I guess you want to call her, person on the show, and so it made sense. She felt so betrayed by Victoria and realized, like she said, I'm just a pawn to you. And so she's like, all right, I need to do the right thing, the good thing. And so I expected it.
Yeah, but is it, should Victoria have told her at all?
I understand why she did. She was so hurt that her other kids, who she finally mentioned tonight, by the way, were not there, and then she was moved that Louise actually did care about her. She felt that I think she was longing for some sort of connection.
Yeah, but she
how incredibly ironic is it, by the way, that this episode took place on Mother's Day? And
I know.
Just, you know, so many different pieces.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
Very much so. Not a good Mother's Day for revenge. Or maybe it is, I don't know. You judge for yourself. I'm not here to give you an opinion. I thought it was a very bad move by all of them, and if I was Margot, I would have figured out a way to, you know, put a stop to it. you know, one way or another, been like, ah, sorry, Margo's or Luisa's not answering her phone. I can't find her anywhere. But let's get you on this plane out of here.
Another plane. Careful. Yeah, well, the last one she left on blew up.
Oh, man, imagine if that happened. That'd be absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I was looking for more explosions tonight. I thought the boat was going to explode when Jack and Amanda sailed off.
I always thought that it should have ended like you see the boat get like tinier and tinier in the distance, and then you just hear a little, and then you just see it sinking slowly, and you cut back to the shore, and it's like Takeda's daughter and I don't know, someone
Nico?
Else, and they're like one of them's like got that like, you know, they push down the dynamite thing,
yeah.
and the other one's like pulling binoculars away, and they go, "Did you get him?" And they go, "Yeah."
I think some fans have speculated, like, the whole notion, because we didn't know if it would get renewed or not, was, okay, if there is a season 5, how is there going to be a season 5? And it's either just kind of reshuffle everything, or kind of in that vein of you just create a whole new revenge cycle with other people. So I could have seen that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, another thing that I was like, man, it'd be cool if we could do this, is end the thing with the... If we picked up, you know, if our this little addendum to the end of the thing was we picked up, like, say, I don't know, 14 years later or 17, I don't know, something like that, and we're following some kid, you know, we're like on his back in a classroom or something, and then we go, you know, we follow him out, the bell rings and we follow him out, and somebody's like, "All right, see you later, Carl," and he gets into a car, and it's Emily driving him. Driving him home and telling, you know, whatever, like having some sweet moment. She's like, "All right, you got to get inside and do your homework," whatever the hell. And he goes into his room, and say Jack is not in his life anymore. Something we know that something happened to Jack. You know, something happened to Jack, obviously. So he goes into his room and he pulls out of a box like photographs of these people that were responsible or something, you know, somehow. Or if he was no longer in Emily's care or something, and he and we'd lost her somehow, or she was killed in front of him or something, and he had to, and we just realized this whole cycle's going to start again with this kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just keep thinking, like, what... any story about revenge, like, what can you say about it? It's either got to be a story about forgiveness or a story about redemption, a story about...
Well, certainly the symbol of infinity times infinity just kind of, you know, lends itself to that, right? It's a cycle that just goes round and around and around and around.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about revenge is if someone doesn't eventually stop it, like end the cycle and just go, "This is unfair to me, but I have to let it go." Because otherwise, we're just going to keep doing this back and forth. You know, that's one of the awful things about revenge, is it just sort of, vengeance does not redeem you.
Here's a nice little segue into that, right? Courtney Love's character, White Gold, she says, you know, "You should put me on retainer. No, this is the last one." Yeah, okay, they all say that. What was it like to have that fight with Courtney Love?
it was cool. I mean, you know, like it's. I hate to say this because she's a human being, but like, there's a part of you that's like, holy crap, you were an like iconic person in, you know, to my mind, to like my kid brain. Like, I was just watching a little, only like the first 40. I've got to see the rest, but. The first 40 minutes of the Kurt Cobain montage of Heck, and so far it's amazing. You know, like just knowing that like what she was to him, and so like we were all aware of her. It was like rock royalty, you know. So it was I don't know. It was interesting to like on a sort of another level to be working with her. And she was just lovely to me, like. It was fun. So
it was very stabbed brief. You in the most loving, caring sort of yes. way.
But I mean, the funny thing is, it was like our, you know, it was like stunt people doing all that stuff, and then I did it with the stunt person. I did it with them. grow up. But yeah, and then I, it was like the only, I did like one little piece of the fight with her, and then I did, and then it was her on top of me. So that was like the extent of my work with Courtney Love was her straddling me with a knife to my throat.
You grow up.
Yeah. I'll never do that.
Hey, that's okay. Pretty cool. It's something you can add to your, you know, life resume. Mm-hmm. Courtney Love straddled you with a knife to your neck.
On the bucket list.
Yeah. Here's a question for, I think we've kind of wondered it, and obviously the simple answer is that it was story convenience, but when you heard that you were going to be a cop, how was that, like, process for you?
Well, you know, when I heard I was going to be a cop, like...
The quickest training ever.
I know. Well, apparently they looked into it and they found out that you can actually become a cop within 6 months.
Oh.
Like, so, and that was the break between... season 3 and season 4, like it actually took, it was 6 months, but considering he was just arrested, that means as they were putting the cuffs on him, he must have been like, how'd you get this job? Yeah. So that's fun. But he became a cop. I don't know. I mean, look, it was, the idea was brought up at the start of season 3 by Joe, fantastic writer, and he, you know, and that made a lot of sense to me then when he was like if his path were to parallel Emily's, but to do it sort of legally, do it by the book, like he's like, I'm going to go after Conrad, if you know, at the start of season 3, having just lost his wife and his brother at his hand, it's like, okay, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to do it from the inside. I'm going to be Serpico. I'm going to be the cop that you cannot corrupt. Like, with your money or with your power, I'm going to be the one guy that you can never get to. And I'm going to take you down. And all the while, he and Emily, maybe not all the while, but like for a large portion of the season, because of his heartbreak and rage about her being responsible in large part for what was, you know, what happened to him, they would be at odds, and she'd be begging him to come back from the edge, but not realizing how much of a hypocrite she's being. You know, I think those things could have been fun to play with, but then it just came back up this season. Like, hey, what if we did that idea that we had before? But it didn't make. I don't know. It didn't make as much sense to me just because this season, because the villains were already gone, you know? Like, Victoria, at least as far as he knew, Victoria was already in the loony bin, which is a term no one ever uses. Are you guys drawing penises?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Totally. So, speaking of anything else, Tina, Anna, and Roxy, that you guys want to touch up on this
speaking
episode?
Speaking of penises.
Yeah, all the females. Anything that you guys want to talk about in particular of this episode that you found significant for one reason or another?
I did think that it was cool, I guess is not really the right word to use, but whatever, that Mary Gaines ended up being Victoria's mom, and that was the body that she used in the fire. And then you see that scene where she's in the hospital saying all those horrific things to her and basically saying, you know, well, who's the worst mother now, you know? So that was kind of, I liked the fact that, because the whole time I'm thinking, who is this random woman? She just went to the, like, morgue and got some random body? Like, okay. Right. So it kind of
it humanized Victoria a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, and it made it much
more... To see
more...
where she came from and why she was the way she was. Yeah.
She's still terrible.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She is.
But it makes it more complicated than just that.
Yeah, sure. You know, villains should never know they're villains.
No.
Is that so, like, and when we don't, you know, somehow indicate that there is a reason or that it makes sense to them, that what they're doing makes a twisted kind of sense to them, then it, you know, then it just, it's like,
it's like a parody of itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anna? I'll go with Roxy. What do you got?
Well, something I just really wanted to talk about was the scene where Emily either dreams or whatever happens that Charlotte actually gave her Victoria's heart. A lot of people on social media are wondering about that, whether it was just a dream or what the point of adding that was, if it wasn't a dream, and how you guys felt about that.
I mean, I thought it was cool. Like, I keep saying cool, but...
everything was cool tonight.
Yeah, everything was just cool.
I hate your vocabulary almost as much as you hate Jack.
Oh, man. I feel so bad now.
Oh, God, don't worry. It's
Anyway.
And why was it cool?
Wait, what?
The heart.
The heart. Because it was just, like, coming full circle with, you know, Victoria has... no heart, so to speak, and, you know, that Emily ends up with her heart is just kind of like, I guess that was the bad thing that happened to Emily. Like, everything else went her way, but she got Victoria's heart, you know? So it was kind of like a good parallel, I guess, but I'm wondering, too, did that really happen, or was it just a dream? Why would they... show that if it wasn't true. You know, I think it was.
They've shown us stuff before.
Well, and I think she actually had the line that, I'll never be able to escape her, will I?
Yes.
That, so she's just going to continue to have nightmares and flashbacks, and it will never really be over for her.
Right.
I guess I don't know for sure. Like, maybe I just sort of imagined that it was a dream. Because Jack says, you had the dream again. And then she says something. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, it sort of came off to me like it was just a dream.
Was it? Speaking of random questions of the episode, why was the Grayson gravestone so large? This thing took up half the cemetery.
They were very rich.
The Graysons, yeah.
But speaking of random things, last week we made a promise to the listeners.
You should never do that.
We've talked a lot.
Oh, my God.
We're doing it,
Roxy.
We've talked a lot about how Daniel used to be a poet, and, you know, if only he could have been a poet, and might we hear another one of his poems before the series ends, and we didn't get to, which we imagine might happen. So we took the time to write some haikus that he may
Anna
have
took the
written.
Time. Anna.
That he may have written.
The royal we.
And when she says some, she means about 50.
And then we promised that you would read one on air.
Oh,
now,
God.
I placed an asterisk next to my favorites.
Okay.
And just choose one at random.
There's 50 asterisks here.
They're haikus. They're like 2 sentences each.
Oh, my God.
I think... Is this a bad time to tell you guys?
You can't read it. Just play it.
Okay.
I'll just read.
I'll just react. I'll read 3 of these. Okay.
3 sounds
happy.
Good.
Bang bang ovaries. Honeymoon clearly over. Now I sit and write. Okay. I'm pretty proud of you.
Very good. It's very good.
All right. I like that. Steel Colt 45. Sterilized Emily Thorne. Wordsworth would be proud. Okay. You don't get to laugh at these. These are yours.
You're
laughing
about.
Harder than anyone.
Okay.
These are incredible. I'm laughing harder than you guys, I swear.
Okay.
Bang Bang Ovaries is my favorite so far. The betrayal is real. This pain that I feel runs deep. So I shot my wife. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me read a couple more. Okay. Let me just, I mean, I don't know. Okay. I don't mind this. Pen, paper, and words. Return to my greater loves after shooting M's.
This is great listening material.
Okay. Here's one. Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay, here's one more. Married to my words because my first wife was shot and can't reproduce. All right. My favorite is Bang Bang Ovaries.
Mine too. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, of course.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that was... I work overnights, and so I sleep during the day, and I woke up and literally had about 46 text messages from that group, and they were all on as haikus.
Okay.
Yeah,
I wrote them too. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Roxy did too.
We forgot about you because you're not here.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Okay. Not my fault. I'm really sorry. I miss you guys.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's your fault. No offense. Okay, you made a decision. Here's the thing.
I want to talk about something revenge related.
Go.
Okay.
Steven's head is going to explode.
The group of people that were at the wedding.
Speak
so
louder.
Obviously, Charlotte was the maid of honor, and then we see that Louise is there. Were you guys surprised by this at all, or did you think that it made sense?
It made sense. I was more surprised at all of Jack's friends. Where did they come from? Who are they?
He met them on the Force.
Maybe.
Except I thought they all hated me because I left the Force. They were like...
He met them at the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all my dad's friends.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, so there you have it. Anything else that you guys are dying to get out? I mean, this is it. This is the last time we'll all be together or over the phone.
Well, this was, you know, it was really fun to do this with you guys all the time. And I'm sorry, all the time. I did, what, three?
Three times.
Yeah, we love having you every
time. It feels like all the time, you guys.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But no, I had a great time, and it's great to know like that you like the show.
I did,
and you maybe don't, and you don't even like me. And I'm kidding, it's great. I've had a great time every time I come here. So thank you. And
who are some of your favorite characters that you wish you got to see a little bit more of? There was Padma. There was Javier. Steven's gonna stab me, but hey, I run this network. Keep it going. I was interrupted for my finale viewing, so I'm gonna make it up to everybody.
Oh.
Anyway, some of your favorite characters.
That was amazing. you can't see it, but somebody just got shot. This place is in a bad
neighborhood.
That's
what happens when you disagree with my ideas.
I actually do feel bad about that. I kind of want to give him a hug.
I mean, we've been through a lot of characters.
Yes, we have.
We have. So some of your favorites. Why don't the girls?
Not Jack. No, I'm just kidding.
There we go.
I mean, can we focus on someone you liked?
Daniel, I was so sad when he got killed. He was my all-time favorite. Like, when I first started watching the show, I immediately just had, like, a huge crush on Josh Bowman. I was like, oh my god, who is this guy? Like, where did he come from? Yeah. And so that's what really, like, sucked me in the beginning. Then I started not liking him, and then I liked him again, and then he died. It was really sad.
Since apparently we're just, like, live streaming.
We're just going to keep going.
I love it. Yeah. When was the last time you talked to Henry Cherney? What's he doing? Tell us everything.
The last time? It wasn't, I don't know. It wasn't, like, it was, like, through text or something, or maybe, I can't remember, but I love that man, and I want to, and we... some of the fans might know that we did, like, a boys' trip to, Joshua Tree, which was just a tree that Josh had in his front yard. but we went and we had a great. It was like actually kind of one of the best trips of my life. Like and we
just you and him.
We no. I guess I didn't. Yeah, I guess
you didn't really specify.
He said a boys trip.
Sorry. Yeah, I guess I meant. Yeah. I thought you guys knew.
I thought there was more than the two of them.
Yes, it was all of the male cast, from the you know the main male cast, minus Barry. Because fuck, sorry, screw him. No, but actually, it was really I was really bummed to be missing him. And so we want to do it again, but this time have him there. He was unable to make it the first time. And so yeah, we've been talking about doing it again. So we're gonna aim for June.
There you go.
So yeah, I don't know. I miss that guy a lot.
And on that note,
Anna's not a boy, but she'd love to join.
Yeah,
in
I guess
on
I
that trip.
To like hang out in Joshua Tree for
all
June.
Of June.
Yeah,
all of June.
Yeah.
there you guys have it. There's a little tip for you fans out there. Just hang out in Joshua Tree for a whole month.
the funny thing is, yeah, you should do that. We're not going to Joshua Tree this time.
So yeah, have fun.
All right, guys, so on that note, we've covered everything that there maybe is to cover. I'm sure we missed a couple of things, but that's what the chat's for. We can continue that infinity times infinity.
Oh,
it all comes
full circle. Good job, Bill. Good job.
Like a circle jerk.
Exactly like that.
Yes. Oh, dear God.
Yes. You're welcome, Roxy.
Anna thinks my jokes are horrific.
Yeah, mine do, though. Wait, can we go and tell him about...
Please tell me about...
Okay, so... We wanted Charlotte... We're like, okay, why did we see her and
wait,
she's
you guys,
all...
Before you do this, like, there were comments on YouTube about...
What? I didn't see any comments.
I'm telling you.
Because I looked.
No, here's why
fine,
I love our
I'll
fans.
I'll tell you off camera.
Okay.
Our fans, what I will say before we... This is the last part. Fans, you guys have stuck with us. You guys obviously stuck with the show, but also us. And so I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. You guys said last week that you guys will dearly miss us. We'll try to form a panel, Nick Wexler included, hopefully,
yeah.
on a show that we can all do. So we'll kind of keep you updated in terms of what it is. And that's about it. Yeah, I mean, without you, the fans, there is no us. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you in Joshua Tree in June. Signing off. Forever.
Forever. Find you guys.
Tina Cap. Nick Wexler on Twitter.
Yes.
No, wait, what did you say? What did you say?
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Tina Cap.
Tina Cap. Okay, Nick _ Wexler on Twitter.
Follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
At Roxy Stryer on the phone. You can follow her at Roxy Stryer. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. And AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you here for another show, but not revenge.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.